talking on the statue of a perfect man, right? We've got to virtue. We spent 20 classes on faith and the foundation. So we're going to start. Last week we went and dealt a little with virtue, but let's look at it again. The definition of virtue. Definition of virtue is conformity to a standard of right, a particular moral excellence. It's an order of angels, quality or power of a thing. All right, just keep going. Come on in. Manly strength or courage, a commendable quality of trait, a capacity to act, and then chastity, especially in a woman. Now, Brother Brown said virtue, this virtue in the pyramid was not virgin living.
Amen.
Why? You should have done that at faith.
Right.
At the new birth, you should have took away with all that. You should have virtue when you begin to, or live a virtuous life when you become a Christian. All right, so that virtue is not talking about being a virgin, all right, or being a chaste, like chastity, especially in a woman. But we know through the prophet's message that it was power or strength. Virtue is strength. And then some of you, like Sister Lisa, it's a character, and it's something that you have to deal with yourself. All these virtues, sure, it has to be shown to other people. But like my example with Peter didn't have to get virtue real quick at the Gate Beautiful. He already had it.
Amen.
And he knew he had it.
That's right.
Or he wouldn't have stopped. Right. He wouldn't have given it to that person. Silver and gold have I none. In other words, like I said, there's no way. I mean, here you and I, what we do today is we see somebody down and out and can't pay their hospital bills. What the first thing we do? We go, okay, we'll give you some money. Get away. We'll give you some money here and go fix your problem. But Peter walks up and doesn't even have a billfold.
Right.
Doesn't have a checking account. He doesn't have a credit card.
Yes.
So what is he telling the man? He said, look, man, I can't even afford to pay my bills, much less yours. Silver and gold have I none. That's what he was saying. Monetary amount I don't have. But such as I have, not such as I'm going to get, such as I have give I unto thee. Because there's no way Peter could have put it in the eternal word of God to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, unless he had it himself already.
That's right.
So that's what you and I got to realize first. You and I got to realize that virtue and strength comes from you.
Oh, yes.
It's the Holy Ghost working in you. But that virtue has to be a birth. It has to be something. A birth means to come forth.
Right.
Being born again. Who said that? Peter. So he ought to know that these things are being birthed in you as you go through your Christian journey. And we get a little bit of each one. It's not that we get full of virtue and then it's like a cup, it fills up and then it runs over into knowledge and then knowledge fills up and it runs. No, it's like I told him, Brother Tim, I don't like those lines in the pyramid. They're just for illustration purposes.
Right.
Really, I believe they need to turn them this way. You got to have faith all the way up. You got to have virtue all the way up. You got to have knowledge all the way up. You got to have temperance all the way up. Patience and godliness all the way up the pyramid. Not that you stop and say, well, I'm full of virtue. I don't need any more. No. You'll be a virtuous person till the day you get out of here.
That's right.
And same thing with knowledge, temperance, patience, and all the way up. So let's read what Brother Branham said about this in The Angel of the Lord. You can read it here on the screen. Can y'all see that in the back, Bob? Can you see that? Okay. The woman that touched the hem of his garment got the blessing that she asked for. He felt virtue go out. So he had to have it.
Yeah.
He had to have it for it to go out. All right? But when them men that knowed he was a prophet, as the woman at the well, knew he was a prophet, put a rag around his head and hit him on the head with a reed and said, now if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. They didn't feel no virtue. Why? It was the way you approach it. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? It's the way you approach it. You can rub shoulders with people all day long and they not draw any virtue from you at all.
Right.
Even though you have it.
Right.
That's faithful.
That's right. That's why Brother Brown said faith at the bottom of the pyramid is the most important. That's the most important. You got to have faith that you have virtue. Remember what I said about the Bible? Don't think that I'm adding to the word or taking from, but the Bible says add to your faith virtue. Well, add to what you believe. Isn't that the same thing as faith?
Yes.
Add to what you believe virtue. Add to what you believe knowledge. Add to what you believe temperance. Add to what you believe patience. Because it's what you believe first. It's like Sister Lisa said, it was very good. The fountain is inside. The fountain's not something out there. Sure, Jesus is the fountain. But where is he now?
In me.
He's in Morphe right here. He's nowhere else.
That's right.
Come on now. We know God's omnipresent and omniscient. But if we're the last in Morphe of God, this is where God is.
Yes.
He wants that to work. He wants that fountain. He wants you to see that fountain. But you know what? You control the nozzle,
yes,
of the fountain. You really do. You control it. But you go through life though, and if you go out in your job place and you do little things that are wrong and people see that you do things wrong, they can't draw virtue from that. But if you go through where Jesus was walking through a throng of people, those people around him, some of them didn't like him, some of them hated him, some of them loved him. But they didn't have a need like that little woman that had basically been on her period for 12 years, I think it was. 12 years she was having this issue of blood problem. Been to doctors. Brother Brandon makes the illustration. She spent all of her money. She went to every doctor. In other words, she went to Mayo Clinic. She went everywhere and they said, we can't help you. But she saw a man one time that I'm sure she had heard a lot of, and finally she saw him, and she said, if I can touch the hem, just the hem of the garment, I'll be made whole. Well, when she touched him, in Mark 5, verse 30, we'll read here, it says, Jesus immediately knowing in himself. See, nobody else around him knew it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No, Peter didn't even know it.
That's right.
Of course, Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost at that time, so he didn't have anything to contact with.
It's true.
Right? Holy Ghost hadn't been given. Jesus hadn't died, so there was the Holy Ghost. Peter was saying, well, actually he rebuked the Lord. He said, Lord, everybody's touching you.
Right.
In other words, you mean somebody touched me. But he said, he knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now the Greek lexicon for virtue is dunamis. Dunamis is power, mighty work or strength. Brother Ernie Villanueva, he preaches a lot on dunamis. He has spoken several times here on that, and I like that word. That's power, mighty work, and strength. And we know that when Brother Branham, and then look, whatnot, it's miracle, might, virtue, mighty, then you got a miscellaneous form. Strength, power, and ability. Inherent power. Inherent power. Let me say something too. Remember what I said before. People can have a certain amount of these virtues and not even be a Christian.
That's right.
That's what the prophet says, statue perfect man.
Yes.
Because there are people that I like to be around that's not even Christian. You say, not Christian? I said, yeah, because they're like Jim's dad, he has a virtue about him that he's a kind man. He knows how to deal with business. And I like, in that aspect, I like to be around him. But now when he comes to the Word of God, he knows nothing about it. There's no fountain to draw from. So I don't draw virtue from that. But there are people in our life,
amen,
that are virtuous people,
yes,
that you can draw strength from. And if you'll listen to them, they'll teach you something about life. But now when it comes to God, that's what I told Jim's dad one time, and if he was sitting here, I'd tell it again because I told it to him one time before. I said, I'll listen to you when it comes to matters of life. But when it comes to the matters of the Word of God, I said, you don't even know what happened with Jesus and the Pharisees. Because I was trying to explain to him one day. He never read the Bible. Maybe he read it when he was back. He's 80 years old. He probably read it 50 years ago and forgot most of it. So, but see, you can draw virtue or strength from. He has an inherent virtue from just the DNA of life. Okay? But God doesn't want to deal in that because that will fail.
Yeah.
That's the point. That will fail. This virtue will never fail.
Amen.
It'll carry you right on into the future home. That virtue will help people. It'll help. Look, it says inherent power. Power residing. Residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. That's why by the new birth we have to have a nature change.
Yes.
Reading 1 Peter says, or 2 Peter says, what? Having the divine nature of God. Then he says, add to your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance. But inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts or puts forth. See, this is a two-stage thing. You got to have it, and you got to be able to give it. All right? You got to have it. You got to be able to give it. All right? Power for performing miracles or moral power and excellence of soul. All right? So that's the Strong's definition of that word when Jesus said virtue has went from me. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. See, there you go to the natural side of it. All right? Power and resources arising from numbers. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. All right? Now, Luke 6:19. We read another version of what happened. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, but there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now they sought to touch him. They, it wasn't just one woman. This is another example, another account of him going somewhere and said, heal them all. Man, he had a lot of virtue.
Yes.
All right? So that same virtue of that person's got to be in you and I. Then Luke 8:45, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter said, they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody, in other words, hasn't physically touched me.
Yes.
Because she didn't physically touch Jesus in his body.
That's right.
She just grabbed a hold of his garment as it walked by. She just touched it. All right? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. All right? In perseverance, Brother Brown said, now perseverance, to be persistent, to try to make a goal, trying to, you got your mindset on something, and you're persistent in it, because you believe it's the thing that you want, and believe you can get it. Now pardon me, to be persistent, you've got your mind made up, now that you're going to do. Now you cannot have faith in God without knowing the Word of God, or knowing something about God. Now watch, here's his point. Now someone told you, if you go touch that post, you'll get well, you're sick. I wouldn't believe that. Why? There's no virtue in a post.
Right.
Virtue has to come from somebody. Person. Alright? I won't believe that. I wouldn't believe that. You might do it, but that's just a little too strong for my faith. I don't believe there's any virtue in that post. No more than I believe there's virtue in a statue or a monument or a crucifix or something like that. I believe the virtue is in Christ, and Christ is the Word.
Yes.
All right, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now the Word itself comes back in the form of the Holy Spirit into us, and it's Word in you, God in you. So many wants to point God to some mystical something way away, or so far away they overreach it, God's in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory, Christ. The mind that was in Christ is in you. You're reaching plumb away from that, trying to get what's been given to you, God in the human being. So Amen. There is the virtue, God in the human being. All right? I mean, you can't draw virtue from, like you said, a light post or a car. You got to draw virtue and strength. That kind of virtue and strength comes from an inner being working its way out. Like I said many times before, it's happened to me once in my life that I know of for sure, and then that was in Jamaica, and that I got so weak that I couldn't, that I had to sit down. And it's happened one time before in personal life for something that I was asking about. But to get that virtue, you got to have a need.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you got to have a need. So see, we come to faith. You see how these things are laid out? Faith. Got to have faith. Got to believe. Then you got to have virtue in what you believe. Strength.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word. That's where it's got to come from. It's got to come from the Word of God. See, then you come up to knowledge. All right, so we're going back. It's exactly lined out the way it should be. All right? So you got to have faith. You got to have a lot of virtue, because virtue to me is very important. Look at Brother Branham. He's a human mortal man. I don't know if we'll get to read it right now or not, but remember how many times in the prayer line they'd have to carry him off the platform. Why? He said, it's not me, friend. It's you doing it.
That's right.
He had it. He knew he had it.
Yes.
Silver and gold have I none, he could say. But such as I have, I give to you. Well, he just didn't give it to one man.
That's right.
He was doing it night after night. That's why I was telling him the other day, Brother Tim, he died at 56 years old, but he looked like he was about 70.
Yes.
Just the same when Jesus was 30, and they thought he was 50.
Right.
I mean, you're living in two realms, and people are pulling from you all the time.
Yes.
People are pulling. Like a pastor is a workhorse, like we were talking. He's an ox. He's a burden bearer. Well, he's bearing your burdens whether you know it or not.
That's right.
But the reason we come to this church is we believe that there's virtue and strength here.
Yes.
Or you'd go somewhere else.
Right.
So would I. So that pastor, you're drawing, Brother Brown said, he said, you preach one sermon, it's 8 hours work.
That's right.
One sermon. He preaches two. He gets double overtime. Yes, go ahead.
I was thinking of when Jesus healed them all, it was a great crowd, and they weren't Christians, they couldn't have been yet. And
no.
All those people drew from the fountain, the everlasting fountain.
Sure.
He didn't faint,
right.
He got weak probably.
Sure.
So it's that faith.
Sure. Now watch. With that point, Brother Brown gets up and he says, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, and then after about 20 people, he's just gone. But now he said, I can go sit and have a vision from God, and it not bother me a bit.
Right.
Why? God's not drawing virtue from Brother Brown.
Right. Right.
Brother Brown's drawing virtue from God, which is an everlasting fountain, and in the body he's in now, the glorified body he's in now, he's not going to ever get weak.
That's right.
He's finished with that. His days of the intercessory are over. He's still the high priest, you understand, but he's glorified. When we get glorified, he don't have to be an intercessor anymore.
That's right.
Okay? So he's in a glorified body. He never gets weak. That's why he said, when I come back as the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to be weak and have to go sleep in a boat and let a storm. I mean, how in the world? This boat was not big.
True.
He was laying at the bow of the boat asleep, then the storm comes up, and he's still sleeping. Brother Brown said he had a prayer line.
Right.
Weak in the body. But see, now we draw off, Brother Brown says, the everlasting fountain.
Yes.
The eternal fountain. So it just keeps flowing. But what it does, though, it flows down into you, and then you're a conduit. You're a conduit. You're God to the people. That's what
true.
I told him. That's what I told him in Wichita. I said, God doesn't want to stay God by himself.
That's right.
He wants you to be God. Act like God. That's what this is. That's the statue that when Jesus walked on the earth as a human man, but he was Almighty God, that's the way he acted.
Yes.
He didn't act no different than that. Oh, he got a little mad. Well, throw it away. But he didn't stay mad long, because you know what? It's like what old Daddy always said. He beat him out of the temple, but I'm sure he stopped and prayed for him. Somewhere in the daily walk, he would pray for him, and that's what I believe Jesus, because remember when he was on the cross, he was praying for him.
That's
so
right.
That's the character. And look at virtue, him hanging on a cross. Now look, to me and you, if we were to just not know anything about Jesus, walk up to the crucifixion, see three people hanging there, he'd be no different than anybody else. But now watch the thief on the right and the thief on the left. They both were mocking him at first.
Yes.
But something about that man touched that man Jesus. Something about that man touched this one over here. This one over here didn't draw anything off of him. This one over here drew something from him.
Yes.
Because he realized that the man was different. And that's the same way I want us to be in our life, in our walk. I want people to say, not that I testify that I'm a Christian. I want somebody to say, there goes somebody that's different. They may not give you the title Christian, Because they see Christians that drink, smoke, cuss, and I mean, Christianity now is no more than, you know, nothing. It's really not anything.
True.
You can do all those things and still be a Christian in this world. But I want somebody to say, hey, he's different than those people that claim to be Christian. Because that's the greatest stumbling block in the world, is for you to claim you're a Christian and somebody see a beer in your hand or, a, you know, hear you cussing somebody out or anything like that. But Brother Branham was, he drew from God on those visions, so it didn't bother him. Okay? Same way with me and you. Because Brother Branham said, I can preach the Word of God for 2 or 3 hours. He said, but now one or two of these visions of the healing part of the vision that he had of the people, he said, it drains me dry.
Right.
Now, why is there a difference? Because we're going to go upstairs today, and we're going to listen to the Word of God, and we're going to feed off of that virtue. Okay?
Yes.
We're not going to get weak.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The preacher's going to get weak.
Amen.
Whether you see it or not. Virtue is being drawn, but it's not making us weak because we're the one doing the drawing. And that's why Brother Branham could draw strength from God. That's why we draw strength from the Holy Ghost. I mean, you sit and read your Bible, and honest to goodness, the devil's going to make you sleepy. God won't, you know.
That's right.
So, I mean, you can sit there and read your Bible all day long and not get weak because you're drawing strength from God. But what God wants is God wants somebody to draw strength from you.
Amen.
Is that not what our purpose is here for?
True.
So that's why virtue is very important. One of the next ones in line right there after faith is virtue. That you have the virtue. Let's read this one right here and we'll see. The Bible says, we read over here in the book of Luke, where it says virtue went out of him, all right? Congregation says amen. We're going to be like him.
Yes.
We must have virtue then. See, these things are a requirement. We must have it to be like him.
Yes.
Some of your sisters said, well, I don't preach, and how do people draw strength? Man, you sisters draw more strength off of each other than you can from me or Brother Dale. Because you know each other. You're a different Venus and Mars, remember? You're different. Okay? Us men can draw strength off of men, but what I'm saying is you sisters understand yourself. You understand each other. That's why y'all get together, and you ought to get together, and you ought to talk about it. The Bible says many times about the younger should listen to the older.
That's right.
Now that's the virtue part.
Yes.
And that may not mean just exactly age-wise.
It's true.
But maturity-wise. I've seen a lot of 60-year-old people that, men, that I wouldn't draw a lot of strength off of because they act like a 20-year-old.
That's right.
But I've seen some 20-year-old, like Brother Glover, up there, 18 years old, and you can draw strength from that guy because you know what? He's got it in here.
Amen.
It's not out here, it's in here, and it's not of age as far as when he was born into this world. It was when he was born again.
Right.
And he's made himself available for God, and that's the whole thing. You got to make yourself available for God. If we're going to be like him, we must have virtue then. We must have it to be like him. Is the first song that I ever loved in the hymn, one of the greatest, was "To Be Like Jesus." Well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I gotta have virtue. Look, and to pass that it can pass forward from me to the people.
Yes.
Don't just be, see, you, the character in you should never be that I'm going to keep my virtue and never give it out. That's not the character of God.
Right.
Character of God is, I've got it, I want to give it away.
That's true.
Alright? I've got to have virtue, and a past that it can pass forward from me to the people, because virtue went out of him to the people. Virtue. And before you can let it out, you got to have it first. You haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out. What if someone tried to draw virtue out of us and the check would return insufficient funds? See, no. None there to draw from. Check bounced. Somebody looking at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out here carrying on like a sinner. Not much virtue can be drawn from that. Let's just keep reading. Virtue must be in us, and until we get virtue, then when we get true virtue, we can add it to our faith. Remember what I said? Add to what you believe, virtue.
Yeah.
It's got to be what you believe. Add to what you believe. Then when that true, then when we get true virtue, we can add it to our faith. That's the next foundation wall. He's making it a wall. It's the next foundation wall. Now, first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. Wow.
Right.
Faith alone won't do it. Why? You're not complete with just having faith. All right? Now, first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. You've got, Peter said, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now, then it might be the reason you don't have it, because many churches of the day teach you don't have to have it. Or the days of it is past. They don't have to have it. The only thing you have to do is just join church. Yeah, days is past. Virtue. Anyone knows what the word virtue means, see, and we must have it. If virtue went from him to heal the one that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church.
Amen.
Because he was our example. And if he had virtue to give it to the people, he expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength and power. He expects. Did you hear what he said? He said, I expect you to give it out.
That's right.
I don't expect you to keep it. I expect you to give it out. And that's why we draw strength and virtue from each other. We draw a lot of things that sometimes are not good, but that's the old human side. And that's what we're trying to get rid of, though. Because I'm sure, because look, Peter said, I was on the mountain with God. I saw the transfiguration. I saw all the things on that great mountain. Saw the adoption of the Lord. Saw his body glow. Saw him glorified. But then you come over into Peter after he receives the new birth, and he said, I have received now a more sure word of prophecy.
Yes.
What's a sure word of prophecy? It was in him, not just the man that was standing on the mountain.
Right.
That man on the mountain was now inside of him. What about 120 in the upper room had these virtues birthed into their life? Why? Because they had heard from the man himself. They didn't get it from 14-hand information. Or even secondhand information. They got it from God Almighty because they walked 3.5 years with it. Alright? So these virtues were birthed into them because why? God knew that they would need it once they stepped out of that upper room. That he knew they needed the full package deal to combat everything that was going on. Because, you know, this was a new thing.
Yes.
This was a new religion. It was Jews. Old Testament. Jehovah. Messiah's coming. Now they're teaching Messiah's already come, he's gone and come back. He's now in us, and we're going to go take it to the people. So God had to fortify them with all these virtues. But now you and I, as we begin as a newborn babe in Christ, we don't have all these virtues. We may have a portion of them. But we won't have the full part of virtue until one day God's going to reveal it to you. Because he will. He'll reveal to you that you have virtue. Because it's all a revelation.
It's true.
Add to what you believe. Virtue. Alright? And then, what examples, we were looking at examples, you look at people like Moses. The people drew strength off of Moses, but Moses had his problems. People drew strength off of David, but David had his problems. Alright? Then you come on into the New Testament and look at Peter, James, and John. Everywhere they went, mighty things happened. Why? They had virtue.
Yeah.
They had virtue and they had plenty of it. Because what happens with false doctrine doesn't bring true virtue. Because you can't draw from that.
Amen.
Now some people might be deceived into liking it or believing it or whatever, but false doctrine will not produce true virtue. So we got to get all that out of the way. But a true understanding of the Word of God, you know what it does? You got to have confidence. Because without confidence, you can't have virtue.
That's true.
Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Without confidence, you can't have virtue. We're getting ready to go upstairs, man.
Okay.
We're done. We start at 10 o'clock.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Them people don't tell you down there. They don't tell you nothing. Sit down. How you doing, babe?
Nothing good, y'all.
Good. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Would that be...
Yeah, go ahead.
The rivers, plural, of water,
mm-hmm.
singular,
right.
Flowing out of us, those
right.
those eight virtues there.
Right.
Because faith is actually a virtue as well.
Right.
Yes. Well, now, actually, yes it is, but actually, there's only seven adds. Because you get the seven adds gets you to love, because it says add to your faith. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, what? Brotherly kindness and love. Alright? But there is the eighth, like the eighth day, okay? And that love up here at the top of the pyramid, that's not anything to do with I love my wife, I love my job, I love football, I love, no. Love to me is the worst defined word on this earth. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
The worst defined word. I love this. Oh, I love to do this. I love to read. I love to do this. I love to go hunting. That we've eroded that word, because that word right there, love, is a man came one day and died.
Right.
Yes.
Gave his life.
Right.
So that you can have eternal life.
That's correct.
He had it bottled up inside of him, and there's no way to get it out unless that shell of the man, the shell of the man, not the inside. The inside man can't die.
Right.
He was God Almighty.
Right.
He wasn't a son or a second person of a Trinity. He was God Almighty himself.
Yeah.
Now, I'd be a horrible rascal if I was told my son, said, hey, son, you go down there and die for them people. Well, now, what kind of daddy would that be? No, I'd go first.
Yeah.
There's no second person. He was God.
Amen.
How many people have you ever saw stood on the face of the earth and said, I'll lay my life down and I'll pick my life back up? You was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
What a powerful thing. Have you heard anybody tell you that?
No, sir.
There's no human mortal man can do that.
Right.
It had to be God Almighty. In a human flesh.
Yeah.
Because Isaiah 53, real quick, for our visitors and for you. Isaiah 53, he gave this for a sacrifice.
Yes.
He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Now, the soul of God never went through that.
That's right.
But that soul of God was the ransom that was paid. He gave his soul a ransom so he could see his seed. So when his soul came out of that body at Calvary, the Bible said the first thing he done was went to hell.
That's right.
And if he went to hell with eternal life in him, which he did, and preached or witnessed to the people that had never met him, right?
Yeah.
What the Bible says, went to the souls that were in prison, preached to them that the long-suffering of the days of Noah, in other words, Noah preached about Jesus.
Yes.
He didn't say Jesus because he didn't know the name Jesus, but he preached about God Almighty saving a group of people.
Yes.
Sure he did. They turned him down, so God had to come down into hell, and if he went to hell with eternal life in him, right?
Yes.
And if you have eternal life because of that man, that eternal life, same eternal life that come out of him at Calvary, comes back on to you at the new birth, when you're born again. Not when you quit drinking, smoking, cussing, and running around.
Right.
That's not it. That's a good sanctified life. The devil can live that.
It's true.
He can. The devil's not some sot drunk.
That's right.
No, he's a pretty religious guy. But when that eternal life went to hell and preached to those people, that was my representation that I don't have to go there.
Amen.
Brother Tim, I've already been to hell.
That's right.
So I don't have to go again.
Yes.
God Almighty went to hell with me in him.
Yes.
And then when he came back and comes into me, cleans that old me out, kills that old nature of that person that was once the old Waydale that was you couldn't even live with. Couldn't even live with myself.
Amen.
When he drives that spirit out, puts his spirit in, then you don't have to go to hell. You already been there.
That's right.
Oh, we go through hell on earth, sure. But that's this thing.
Yes, yes.
But see, Jesus did two things. He gave his body, the Lamb of God. He gave his body as a sacrifice. But he gave his soul a ransom.
Yes.
Right.
He ransomed us out. In other words, he said, hey, take me, not them.
That's right.
But in taking him, there goes the ding-dong, in taking him and putting him in hell, I went with him. So when he resurrected, I rose with him. I don't have to die again.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
But virtue. We're going to stay on virtue one more Sunday, and then we'll go to knowledge. Okay? So just keep virtue in your mind.